come to you right now, and we thank you for this time, this sanctuary, this home, which is yours. We thank you for each one that is here, that is part of this congregation. Thank you for this time that we have to worship you, to study your word, and to encourage one another, to pray for one another, and to serve one another. And by doing so, serving you. Thank you for a pastor and Sunday school teachers who encourage us to share your word, to share the gospel, and have trained us so well and diligently and encouraged us for so long to do so. Give us opportunity, and may we be faithful in doing so as you provide opportunity to share the gospel, to bring more to the saving grace and knowledge of you in the coming times, days, years, until your second coming, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, now let's sing of our Savior's love for us, number 338, all four verses. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me it was in the garden, he prayed not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He had no... for the Calvary, and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with the ransomed in glory, his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Okay, now if we turn over to number 414, have thine own way, Lord. I might get the words of this one right.
Join me in scripture reading, if you would, in the book of Daniel, chapter 4. We'll be reading from verses 8 through 17. Daniel 4, 8 through 17. While you're turning there, Mike graciously pointed out that I had missed an announcement, a very important one. Memorial service for Mary Parrish's husband, Jerry Edward, or Eddie Parrish, will be held October 7th, 2023 at 9 a.m., right here at Lake Country Bible Church. So keep that in mind as well. That is in your bulletin, so if you would like to be here, hold on to that. Again, scripture reading is Daniel 4, verses 8 through 17. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belshazzar. according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and that no secret troubleth thee, tell me the vision of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretations thereof. Thus were the visions of mine head in my mind. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much. And in it was the meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowl of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the vision of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and an holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, Hew down the tree and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it and the fowl from its branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with the band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven. And let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from the man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the Holy One, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men.
Oh, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, you are holy.
Didn't want to scare you this morning and come up here without my Bible. Some things just go along with older age. Mind you, I said older, not old. It's good to look out and see everybody this morning. Your smiling faces. I'm taken back by the faithfulness of those who serve us Sunday to Sunday, faithfully doing the things that God has called them to do. There's many things that take to run a church of any size, and we're blessed to have people who are willing to stand up and say, I'll do that, or I'll be glad to do that. We are looking this morning further into Daniel chapter 4. And so let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask for His leadership in these passages of Scripture. Father, we come to You this morning. We thank You, Father, as we look around. We see those who have been a little bit under the weather and maybe a lot under the weather back with us. And Father, we thank You for that. We thank You, Father, for Your faithfulness as we consider our God, the One who is faithful in all things. You are trustworthy. You are sure to carry out Your promises and Your word. Thank You, Father, as we look around us and we see this old world as it is continuing to deteriorate. And Father, men's hearts are not inclined to be in agreement with You and Your word and Your will for their lives. Father, we who know You as our Savior, we have experienced the new birth, but we still carry around with us that new birth in this old earthly body, with all of its weaknesses and frailties and temptations and harsh words, criticism of others. Father, we just confess those things to You and ask, Father, that You would open our minds and our hearts and ears that we might hear, see, and understand, Father, the things that You would have us to from Your word this day. And Father, we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. It's amazing, before I get into Scripture, it's amazing that we have so many people that desire to be baptized, and the list is continuing to grow. It's the reason we hate to close the door, because we don't have a baptistry. And for some reason, the galvanized cattle troughs, watering troughs, get the job done, but it just doesn't seem right. So we're gathering together the group of folks that want to be baptized, and we will be traveling a short distance to a church that's pastored by a friend of mine who does have a baptistry and is willing for us to use that. So keep that in mind. Also, the memorial service is coming Saturday morning at 9. I know that's a little early for some of us to get up and get all beautified and get here for a memorial service, but please try to do that. It'll be such a ministry to Mary and her family that are here. They're out visiting other family members that they don't get to see very often. And so pray for them, safe travels as well as this memorial service. So I guess those are the things that I need to remind you of. This morning we're looking in Daniel chapter 4, continuing our study. Nebuchadnezzar in this chapter is doing the talking, if you would. He's giving the discussion. He's giving an account of what took place. And we looked through the first part of Daniel chapter 4 through verse 7, and we want to pick up today in Daniel chapter 4 verse 8. We find that this man, Nebuchadnezzar, was having a difficult time. We began in Daniel chapter 1 with a dream that he didn't know what it was and didn't know what it meant. He threatened to kill all of those who stood by his side and carried out his decree because they weren't able to answer that dream. And so Daniel appeared on the scene, being a captive. He appeared on the scene and he gave, and with God's illumination, gave Nebuchadnezzar the meaning of the dream. And Nebuchadnezzar was so thrilled, he elevated the other Jewish young men, the three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to important positions there in Babylon. And then we find later on that Nebuchadnezzar has erected to himself a golden image. And he did that because of pride in his own heart. We find in Daniel, from Daniel chapter 1 through the end of the book, Nebuchadnezzar pretty well fought with this thing of pride. Now, we don't have any indication this early in the book of Daniel that Nebuchadnezzar was a believer in Jehovah God. He had many gods that he bowed down to. And one of the gods that he required his followers there in his kingdom to follow was himself. He thought of himself as a god. He was proud. And pride always gets people in trouble, whether they are saved people or unsaved people. The biggest problem, I think, in the believer's life, and one that we fight, each one of us fight, and I hate to say this and admit to this, but it's pride. We have today, a problem with pride. And pride always is the nucleus, many times, of sin in the believer's life. I find that to be true in my own life. Now, don't get me wrong, I look in the mirror every morning. It's not good looks that I sometimes have pride. What are you giggling at? It's not good looks that I have problems with pride in. Sometimes it's pride about things that we have learned from other people that maybe are blessings to us, and we sort of carry those around as pride. Those can be valued, but when they turn to pride, I believe that's displeasing to the Lord. Nebuchadnezzar had this same problem with pride. We find then, as he built this image, dreamed of this image, and built this image of himself, he threatened to throw into the fiery furnace those who did not bow down and worship him, because it was an image of himself. And then we find here that Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 4 has another dream. I guess we could call Nebuchadnezzar a dreamer, because he had a lot of dreams. Either that or he needs to stop eating tacos before he goes to bed at night. Nebuchadnezzar says in Daniel chapter 4, verse 8 and following, "But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belshazzar." What had happened was that he knew the dream, he could recall the dream, but he needed somebody to give him the meaning of the dream. And so he called his fellow advisors in, or the advisors he had in, and all came with the exception of Daniel, and none of them could answer what the dream meant. We find in Daniel chapter 4 here in verse 8, "But at the last, Daniel came in." Why Daniel waited to the last, I don't know. Maybe it was because that he felt like the Lord would have him wait and not put his 2 cents worth in with everybody else's that was trying to describe the meaning of the dream. But whatever it is, Nebuchadnezzar said, "But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belshazzar, according to the name of my God." See, his God. He had many gods. And he, I guess, could pick and choose. But this was one that he said, "My God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and before him I told the dream, saying, O Belshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the vision of my dreams that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of my head and my bed." He describes his dream. "I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and in the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached into the heavens. Sight thereof to the end of all the earth, the leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beast of the field had shadow under it. The fowls of the heaven dwelt in it, in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the vision of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher." This would be an angel of the Lord, a messenger of the Lord, and a holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, "Hew down the tree and cut off the branches," or his branches, "shake off his leaves and scatter his fruit. Let the beast get away from under it, and the fowls from under its branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of its root, his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass and the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times or years pass over him." Nebuchadnezzar describing his dream to Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar, I'm sure, was at this point realizing to a degree the importance of the dream and its reference to him as the ruler. He saw a great tree. It covered as far as he could see in his dream from one end of the earth to the other. Its boughs were great. The beast found safety under its limbs. The birds nested in its leaves. Its fruit fed not only mankind, but also animals. It was a rich, rich tree. And Daniel said, or Nebuchadnezzar tells Daniel, "I saw in the vision of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher, a holy one, came down from the heavens, and he cried aloud and said, cut the tree down, cut it off, cut off the branches, shake off the leaves, do away with the fruit, scare the fowls from its branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump. You know, pride. Before God could use Nebuchadnezzar in a way that would be honoring to him, Nebuchadnezzar had to get over his pride. Many times we as believers, as I said earlier, have a problem with pride. Might be a problem as far as what position we hold in the church, what our duties and responsibilities are in the church. It could be things that we have accomplished in the past, duties that were ours that we faithfully discharged. Maybe we have a plaque on the wall congratulating us and thanking us for the years of service. It could be pride in who our family is and what a good family we've been or we have. I'm here this morning to tell you that I have a great family. I didn't say that they were without shortcomings, but I have a great family. I'm thankful to God for that. I pray daily for my family, and I hope that you pray daily for your family, because the issues of this life here on this earth can affect anyone and everyone. Anybody's child and everybody's child, no matter whether they're young or whether they're old, whether they have been successful in their jobs, employment, whether they have been recognized, no matter what kind of money they've made and what they put back, we need to pray for our children that God would use them. We need to understand that pride can dwell within our own hearts and does at various times in everybody's heart. Don't get proud over the fact that you might not have problems that crop up in your own life because you've got it all together. I shouldn't either. God has a way of bringing us down and to teach us a lesson, as we see here. In Daniel, when Nebuchadnezzar said the tree was hewn down, he was instructed to hew down the tree, cut it down, get it out of the way. You see, Nebuchadnezzar's pride was being adjusted. Sometimes we find ourselves in that same situation where things have gone wrong, where we have experienced heartache, where marriages have gone wrong, where employment has been lost, where people have maybe gossiped about us. All of these things, God can bring us to a point where we need in our lives, we need an adjustment, much like Nebuchadnezzar had. The messenger from heaven said, nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots. Now, we find here that this is a pronoun, his roots, speaking directly to the need in Nebuchadnezzar's life for an adjustment of his pride. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with an iron, a band of iron and brass. Have you ever been brought up into a hard place in your life where it seems like you've been backed into a corner because maybe of the way that people look at you, maybe in the way that they think of you? Have these things been yours to bear? Nebuchadnezzar had not experienced any of those things. And we find here that he realizes that something is up for him. A band of iron and a band of brass will encircle this stump that is left. It is a picture of security, if you would, of adjustment, but with the understanding that there's hope at the end. A band of iron, as we find in Nebuchadnezzar's previous dream of this image he saw of gold, silver, brass, iron, and iron mixed with clay, the strength of the iron. We find that in this image, this band of iron is a band of strength, if you would. A band of strength ensuring to Nebuchadnezzar that this is going to be a time of adjustment. At least that's the way I see it. A band of brass there, stimulating my mind to think of some value, not the value of gold and not the value of silver, but having a value. So we have a stump with a band of iron and of brass, securing the stump, future. What's the guarantee? The stump will rise again. Nebuchadnezzar saw it. He described it. And he said, this messenger from heaven says, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times or years pass over him. Nebuchadnezzar saw this dream, this vision that he had. He saw, if you would, his kingdom as he knew it to pass away. Have you ever been in that situation in your life? Through hardships, maybe monetary problems, maybe marital problems, maybe employment problems, maybe just, what would we say? Just in problems everywhere. Nebuchadnezzar saw this, and he realized, in my mind's eye, he realized that it was his time for an adjustment. You ever been through an adjustment in your walk with the Lord? I have. More than once, more than twice, several times, adjustments. Some of you may have been through marriage adjustments. Some of you may have been through employment adjustments. Maybe health adjustments. It gives the one, this one, Nebuchadnezzar, a picture of his time of, if you would, adjustments in his regime, in his mindset. And this is what is described by Nebuchadnezzar himself. He would be in this situation, incapacitated except for the basis of existence, where he would even be to the point that he ate of grass. with the beast of the field. He had a beast's heart where he didn't understand or would not understand the things going on around him. And for 7 years he would be in this situation. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. Nebuchadnezzar knew exactly this messenger from heaven. Told him exactly what it was for. He described it even unto Daniel. Giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. Nebuchadnezzar's problem was pride. We find here in Daniel chapter 4 further on, "This dream I, Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belshazzar, describe or declare unto me thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee." Then Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, was astoned. Means he was quiet. He didn't respond for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, "Belshazzar, not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee." Belshazzar knew there was something coming. He knew that his reign was going to change. Then Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, was astoned for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, "Belshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee." So Belshazzar answered and said, "My lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached to the heavens, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all under the branches which the beast of the field dwell, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heavens had their habitation, it's thou, O king. Thou art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is of the earth, or thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw watcher or messenger with the Holy One coming down from heaven and saying, 'Hew down the tree and destroy it, yet leave the stump, the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass and in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet.' This is the interpretation, O king. This is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men. Thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of the heavens. And 7 times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. After that, thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility." Punishment was coming. 7 years. Nebuchadnezzar saw himself. Daniel underscored that with what he told Nebuchadnezzar. And we will find in verse 8, But at the last, Daniel came in before me. God and God's man is at last being listened to. You know, our country is in a mess. I don't speak often or mention it very often, but it's in a mess. And there is going to be an adjustment made at some point in the future. And from what I see, that adjustment is not very far off. Sad to say that we have found the same unbelief in the lives of truly born-again Christians, that same pride that Nebuchadnezzar had. These born-again children of God, they try everything. Let me say this, we try everything. And when things fall apart, then we turn to God. Nebuchadnezzar had seen God work in his dreams. He had seen interpretations of his dreams given to him. He had seen those that he threw into the fiery furnace escape unharmed, unburned, unscorched. And he still would not turn to God. He knew Daniel's God was a powerful God. But he still clung to those things and those gods that he felt were just as good as Daniel's. You know, we as believers many times fall in the same category, the same pitfall, the same miry mess that the rest of the world falls into, clamoring to have everything that the rest of the world has, thinking that will give us pleasure, give us security. We find the book of Psalms, the psalmist said, "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses." Sometimes I wonder if that's the only way that we come to our senses when things are so rough and tough in our lives. Sometimes God uses these things to draw us to Him. It's sort of questionable whether we would turn to the Lord if we were not allowed to get into these times of deep distresses. Should you or I be this morning in a time of trial, in a trial of testing, in a time of adjustment in our walk with the Lord? The Lord Jesus Christ, God Himself, is waiting to hear from you and me. We should cry out to Him, express how we feel to Him. We should depend upon Him for leadership in these times of difficulties. You see, He won't leave us there. No more than He was going to leave Nebuchadnezzar out in the fields with the beast, eating the grass that they ate. God was not going to leave him there. God was going to restore him to his greatness. But you see, Nebuchadnezzar had to learn his lesson. We ought to cry out to the Lord. God will lead us. God will direct us. He will minister to our every need And we can be assured that He loves us. And that we, through this learning experience, will be drawn closer to Him. You see, what happened to Nebuchadnezzar, we'll just find out next week, maybe. All right? Let's pray. Father, we come to You this morning, and we thank You so much that many times when things get so rough and so confused and there's all kinds of things that are whirling around us and illnesses and accusations and just out and out, just difficulties. Father, we would be so wise if we as Your children would call out to You, acknowledge, Father, to You our shortcomings, and Father, receive Your forgiveness and Your strength and Your assurance that things will be all right. Father, thank You for the time together in Your Word. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.